It's everywhere, and we feel it. The tension, the emotion, the dysfunction, the hostility, the incivility, the volatility, the vilification, the fragmentation, the polarization. It's everywhere, and we feel it. So I'm going to talk about it. Now, I will admit that I've talked about this before. Some of you were with us at First Missionary Baptist a few weeks ago, and that night I talked about it, and there were a few people who said, I wish you'd talk about this back at home. So I am. Now, I'm not going to do exactly the same sermon, but you will hear some repetition, and for that I apologize. I'm still learning, and I've reshaped it and rewritten it, but I am going to talk about what I talked about at First Missionary Baptist. And I hope you'll find, if you got your bulletin, if you'll find that right under the title of the and the reference, there's Proverbs 18:2, and it's in several versions. I'd appreciate it if you would follow along. And I'm going to read those various versions of Proverbs 18:2. First, the New International Version. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. The New Century Version. Fools do not want to understand anything. They only want to tell others what they think. The Good News Translation. A fool does not care whether he understands a thing or not. All he wants to do is show how smart he is. The Contemporary English Version. Fools have no desire to learn. Instead, they would rather give their own opinion. The Message, finally. Fools care nothing for thoughtful discourse. All they do is run off at the mouth. It seems to me that that verse increasingly characterizes our society. We seem no longer interested in civil, reasonable conversations. We seem to only want to shout at each other. And sometimes with limited understanding of the topic about which we are shouting. That thought caused me to buy a book a couple of weeks ago. I Never Thought of It That Way by Monica Guzman. She does something really interesting. She says that we S-O-S. She says, first we sort. By sorting, she means we identify with and associate with people who think like us, who see things like we do, people who reflect our opinions and who reinforce our perspectives, our positions. We sort. We decide, this is my tribe. These are people who see things like I do. And so we have a we and an us. We sort. We also other. So what we decide is if it's somebody I don't identify with or associate with, if it's somebody who doesn't reflect my opinions or reinforce my positions, well, then they're not us. They are the other. And we pigeonhole and we sometimes dismiss the others. We don't really want to hear from them. We're suspicious of them. We may fear them. Sometimes they feel like the enemy, and we might even come to hate them, the others. So we sort. We choose who we identify with and associate with, and they reflect, they reinforce our positions. And then we other. We decide those are other. They're not us. They're not our tribe. They're the others, and we pigeonhole and dismiss them. And then we silo. Now, Ms. Guzman says that most of us think of silos as those tall silver constructions on the farm, and that's a silo. But in the old days, the silos went down. They were big and they were deep, and grain was stored in the ground in those big, deep holes. And by siloing, what she means is we get in our silos, and all we can hear is our opinions. So our opinions echo off the wall, and that's what we hear. So, take, for example, an algorithm on your computer. An algorithm works like this. When I click on a story on the internet and it's from a particular point of view, well, the algorithm makes a digital check mark on my profile. Now, tomorrow, if I check on a similar story from a similar point of view, then that algorithm makes another digital check mark, and soon those digital check marks add up, and my computer decides that this is what Travis wants to read from the point of view from which he wants to read it. And so soon, all I'm getting are similar stories from similar points of view, and I'm not even aware that there are other stories and other points of view. So I silo, I get deeper and deeper into what some would call an echo chamber. So Ms. Guzman says we sort, we identify with, associate with people who are like us. We other, we decide if you're not like me, if you're not in my tribe, you're the other, and we pigeonhole and dismiss them, and we silo, we just get deeper and deeper and deeper into our own tribe, into the echoes around the walls of our echo chambers. Well, that ain't good. It's not good for our society. It's not good for us as individuals. It's not good for Christians. So I want you to look there at the text, Proverbs 4:7. It's on your outline. Whatever else you get understanding. Whatever, if you get money, well, make sure you get understanding. Get a new house, well, make sure you're getting understanding. You get a new degree, well, that's great, but make sure you're getting understanding. Whatever you get, the Bible says we get understanding. So how do we obey God's word there? How do we submit to that directive from Holy Scripture? How do we get understanding? Well, I have some ideas. First, read primary sources, not secondary sources. Let me tell you what I mean. I'll never forget that because of an embarrassing incident when I was in seminary. So we were in a seminar, and I was assigned a particular academician to study and to bring back a paper on. Well, I started reading that academician, and he wrote real hard stuff to understand. I was having a hard time getting my mind around everything he was saying. So I found some people who had written about him. Now, those things by him are the primary sources. And those things about him, well, those are the secondary sources. And when I came back to the seminar with my paper, and I presented that paper, and it was filled with secondary sources, and one, if I recall correctly, one primary source, my professor blistered me, embarrassed me in front of my peers, and sent me back to work on that paper and bring it back. I'll never forget the difference between primary sources and secondary sources. And sometimes I read secondary sources about people and about issues. And then every once in a while, I'll go and I'll read a primary source and I think, you know, I think those critics were right. I agree. But sometimes I think, you know, this is not exactly what I heard when I was reading the secondary source. When I was reading about so-and-so, and then I go read so-and-so. Well, so-and-so, what? I'm getting all confused about who I'm reading. It's so-and-so may not be saying what this one said, what such-and-such. I'm getting in my silo now. So read primary sources, not secondary sources. Don't read about people. Read people. Don't just read about issues. Read from the people who espouse and champion those issues, those topics. Don't. This is a smart bunch of people. We're too smart just to read secondary sources. Read primary sources, not secondary sources. Second, remember that the authority for what we believe and practice is the Bible, not political commentators. In Acts 17, there's an interesting description of the Christians in Berea. It says they were more noble than the people in Thessalonica. The people in Berea, the Christians in Berea, were taking the Bible every day to see if what Paul was teaching them was true. Apparently, the people in Thessalonica, well, they just swallowed it hook, line, and sinker, but not the Bereans. The Bereans were opening the Hebrew scriptures and asking, is what Paul said right? It feels to me like we've come a long way from Berea, that now we listen to preachers through different filters. It seems now like we listen to preachers through the filters of Tucker Carlson and Rachel Maddow. It feels like now that preachers are judged by our favorite CNN commentator or Fox News commentator. It feels like we're listening to preaching now through the filters of NPR or conservative news network, through Wall Street Journal or the Huffington Post. Listen, please judge me by this, not by MSNBC or One American News. A couple of years ago, I was preaching from the Old Testament, and there was a little detail in the story that I extrapolated from that little detail, a lesson or a point or a truth, and granted, it was kind of iffy. That week, I got three polite emails asking, are you sure about that? I'll take those emails any day of the week. But please don't quote Tucker and Rachel when you hear preachers. And let me assure you, I'm not under attack. I haven't gotten one of those emails in 3 or 4 years, probably. But when you hear teaching and the authority for what we believe in practice is not political commentators. It is the Bible. So read primary sources, not secondary sources. Remember, the authority for what we believe in practice is not political commentators. Three, have a conversation. Have a conversation. James 3:17, it's on your outline. Wisdom from above is open to reason, which implies conversations, not just debates, not just efforts to convince others, but conversations. This week, there have been protests all across the country on college campuses. Students protesting about what they believe to be right or wrong in the Palestinian-Israeli situation. Let me tell you, a few years ago, I was in the West Bank, and I spent an entire day with a Palestinian Christian, a deeply devoted follower of Jesus who grew up in Bethlehem. And I heard a perspective on the Middle East that I had not heard. And I was a better person for having heard. And then it was like the next day, I spent a long evening in Jerusalem with a Jewish man, and he told me a perspective on the Middle East, on security, in other words, that I had never heard. And I came away from that having learned something and having been a better person. I went there with some assumptions that I didn't leave there with. And then there was 2020 with the murder of Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd. And I joined a group called Pastors United for Change, North Alabama Pastors United for Change. Now, I've always been drawn to people of color and other culture. But I heard some things I had never heard, and I learned some things I had not learned. Now, I didn't always agree, and that's important here. To join in a conversation does not mean we always change our opinions. There are some things I did change my opinion on and some things I didn't. Sometimes we had to publicly disagree. But I'm a better person for having had that year-long conversation with people who didn't grow up like I grew up, who have experienced some obstacles that were hard for me to imagine until I heard from people of color. And it's not just politics and it's not just race. It's even Christians from other traditions. I have a friend named John. He's wonderfully curious. He's a Baptist, John the Baptist. You may have heard of him. He's a friend of mine. And John is wonderfully curious. He took a pastor from another denomination. Remember, John's a Baptist. He took a pastor from another denomination to lunch just to learn. And he, after the lunch, he said to me, he said, Travis, I was having lunch with this pastor from another denomination, and I said to him, my understanding is that in your denomination, you believe this. And I interrupted John, and I said, yes, that's what they believe, as if I were the expert. I said, yes, that's what they believe. John said, well, you know, I said, you know, what I understand is that in your denomination, you all believe this. And the pastor from that denomination said, well, I grew up in a church of that denomination. I went to a seminary of that denomination. And I'm a pastor in that denomination. And I never have heard that. Now, ain't that interesting? As far back as I can remember, I've assumed that. Now, either he was not telling the truth, and I think he was, or he's got his head in the sand, and I don't think he does. Either that, or I've been wrong this whole time. Isn't it interesting what you learn when you have a conversation? Again, it doesn't mean we change our opinions. It doesn't mean we change our positions. But what if we were just to, what if we were just to have some conversations? Number four, finally, it's on your outline. Stand firmly, but humbly. Stand firmly. I'm not suggesting that we have minds so open that our brains come rolling out. I'm not suggesting that. I believe we ought to stand firmly on our convictions. I also believe we should remember that God inspired the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary in the history of the Christian church, that God inspired the Apostle Paul to say, we all see through a glass darkly. So stand humbly, but firmly. In Acts 15, there's a fascinating statement. So in Acts 15, it's the Jerusalem Council. And the spiritual leaders, the people who wrote scripture, the people we look to for inspiration, they debated and deliberated over something that would change the trajectory of the Christian church forever. It was about the role of Gentiles, those of us who are not Jews. What would our role be in the church? And they debated and deliberated and finally came back. And this was their statement. It seemed best to the Holy Spirit and to us. And you'd kind of expect more, wouldn't you, from the big boys? That you'd expect more than it seemed. But that's what they said. It's going to shape the future of the church. And the best we've got is, it seemed. It seems. Does not mean we don't know what we believe. It seems does not mean that we don't care what people believe. It seems does not mean I don't have convictions. It seems means I might not be right. It seems. Would you say those two words with me? It seems. Let's practice one more time. It seems. I think we ought to remember those two words in a world in which the topics are increasingly hotter and increasingly complicateder. It's getting more and more complicated. Again, I'm not suggesting that we just throw up our hands and that what we believe doesn't matter. But it seemed was good enough for James and Peter, and maybe it's good enough for us. One of my favorite podcasts is You Might Be Right. It's by Phil Bredesen and Bill Haslam, both former governors of Tennessee, one a Democrat, one a Republican. You Might Be Right. It's based on a famous quote by the late Senator Howard Baker from Tennessee, who said, you ought to go through life living under the assumption that the other guy might be right. Well, let's stand firmly, but let's stand humbly. I love parent-child dedications. That's one of my favorite things. And I hold those precious children, and I want to remind them that we're among families, so If you've been in here, I walk up and down the aisle and I say, hey, look, these are your uncles and aunts and cousins. And I remind you all of your responsibility. And that's a symbol. Walking down the aisle is a symbol. And then in December, y'all were practicing the living Christmas tree. It was on a Wednesday night. A lot of energy in the room. I came in, just wanted to experience it. So I went up there to the balcony, to the second pew from the back, from the wall. And I looked down here. Oh, it was great. And I happened to notice that all from up there, all I can see is this front pew. Maybe the second, if I lean forward. You know what I thought? You know, when I walk down the aisle, I just want to apologize to those of you who sit in the balcony, because I walked through there talking about family and y'all couldn't find me. I hear him talking, but I don't know where he went. You know, now, you haven't noticed, but the last couple of times, since December, I stay down here. I never would have known that had I not gone to sit in another seat. How long has it been since you sat in another seat? Travis, shouldn't we stand for our convictions? Of course we should. But please hear me. An opinion without comprehension is not a conviction. It's just an assumption. Could I say that one more time? An opinion without comprehension is not a conviction. It's just an assumption. Let's remember the difference between convictions and assumptions. That would be good for our country. Probably would be good for our church. For within our church, there are various perspectives, and we're going to celebrate that with communion. And you don't have to be a member of this church.